Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Did you ever think you'd like to move out to the country?
I mean, like you had to drive down a 15-mile country road to get to the country road that took you out to where we were.
The thing with living out in the country is, well, there's lots of vermin.
So I left my car parked in the yard. There was no driveway, it was just yard. And I went on tour for 3 weeks. And when I came back, mice had eaten my car. I think the mice got into my car, found my weed, ate my weed, then got the munchies, ate all the food, and then when that wasn't enough, they ate the fucking car.
This week on Storyworthy, we give an update to the medical marijuana situation in the United States, and we hear a story from the hilarious comedian Jen Kober. And her story, mice, bees, and weed. Oh my. Stay close.
Hi, this is Jen Kober, and you're listening to Storyworthy. Smoke 'em if you got 'em.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Now, I'm so glad you guys tuned in today, whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener. Welcome to Storyworthy. Today, I am here with comedian Jen Kober, who, I gotta say, you guys, she's just one of those comedians that you laugh your ass off. That's it. I mean, I'm just saying, you don't have to, like, you know, wonder if you're gonna like her. You don't have to, like, you don't even need a recommendation. You're going to like her. That's the bottom line. She's really funny. I've seen her live many, many times. And today she brings forth the topic, mice, bees, and weed. Oh, my. Mice, bees, and weed. Oh, my. So I'm assuming that we're talking about marijuana. Shocking. Another story worthy talking about marijuana. Well, that's fine. And I, you know, I enjoy that subject because I enjoy marijuana. I did want to talk about the marijuana laws right now, do a little update. You know, I do this maybe 4 times a year. Right now, you guys, there are 8 states that marijuana is recreational, completely legal for people 21 and over. And those states are Washington State, Oregon, Nevada, California. And then over on the East Coast, Massachusetts, Maine, Washington, D.C., and also Alaska, and of course, Colorado. Colorado, man. I recently went to a dispensary there. It's just so, you know, it's. I wish I could think of the name of it right now. I'm sure I've got some sort of swag around somewhere from them. But just really a nice little dispensary right there on the way up to 75. No, I'm not giving directions. Okay. You know, down the hill, around the bend, where the old school used to be. it doesn't matter. Listen, Jen Kober is here, you guys, and that's what's fun today, because we're talking about weed. We're smoking some weed, and that makes this a story worthy just like all the others. No,
that's not true.
There are many states now, you guys, like over 30, where you can get medicinal marijuana. And that's when a doctor writes you a recommendation. Not a prescription, that's different. But when you get a doctor's recommendation to use medicinal marijuana, and that is going on in states like Pennsylvania, my home state, which is amazing, and also Ohio, New York, Minnesota, North Dakota, not South Dakota, because, you know, the North Dakotans, they're heathens. That's not true. But it's exciting that it, you know, at least it's out of the closet, as it were. Now, it's still not legal in Texas at any cost, which is ridiculous.
But it is just a misdemeanor.
But you know, in Texas also has the border states like Louisiana and New Mexico, and those states have medicinal marijuana. So, you know, the freeways are open, is what I'm saying. The highways are available. So I guess you can really say that, you know, the toothpaste has left the tube. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, it's exciting and it's a lot of fun, especially when it's completely recreational, which it soon will be here in California. I believe it starts in 2018. I was recently at that dispensary in Denver that I tried to explain before but couldn't get through. But the edible, the choices are also a really nice option because now there's so many things you can do, right? So you can smoke your marijuana, you can eat the marijuana, you can vape marijuana, oral delivery with oils like tinctures. There's even topical lotions that you can put on, like if you have aches and pains, like I'll get tennis elbow and I get like a little hemp, you know, like a little hemp stick and rub it on, and then I smoke weed. That I don't know if it's the stick, but
I'm not sure the active ingredient there.
And here's something interesting, that they've actually shown a decrease in teenage marijuana use in the state of Colorado in the years of 2014 and 2015. So it's actually done the opposite of what people were afraid it might do, which is like get teenagers smoking or whatever. I think the idea is we just
expensive. Teenagers can't afford it.
I think the idea is we should just normalize it, and that's that, you know, and not make it a big deal. And then when kids are just like alcohol, kids are maybe going to do it when they're teenagers. We hope they don't, but 21 is legal, and that'll be that, and we can be treated like adults, which is really in the end something I really like. Anyway, you guys, Jen Kober's here. She's going to tell a story called Mice, Bees, and Weed. Oh, my. Oh, boy. This is going to be a good one. I can tell. But listen, before she comes on, I wanted to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. Would you do that? If you do it, I won't bother you about it, right? And then we'll all be happy. Copacetic. I think that's the word I'm looking for.
Oh, that's a good word.
And why not head over to storyworthypodcast.com and join my mailing list? That would be fun. Then I give you a little email. You shoot me back a little email. We do this thing. We're friends. It's a lot of fun. Nothing wrong with that. And also, one more favor, if you could just tell a friend, like right now, just tell somebody about Storyworthy. Say, you want to laugh today? You want to have a good time? You want to not think about Donald Trump for a minute? Why don't you head over to Storyworthy? And right there, you guys, on the bottom of your screen right now, I bet you any money, there's a share button. And you can share it with your friend that way. Or you can text somebody. Or maybe you could call them or do something totally wacky. Visit them. You could even do that. And tell them to listen to Storyworthy Podcast, to the Storyworthy Podcast. And you can do that, of course, on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to your podcasts. All right, you guys, she's here right now, Jen Kober. She is a nationally touring comedian with an extensive calendar of tour dates. I mean, she's just everywhere, you guys. She's also an actress. You've seen her on The Middle, Anger Management, The Mindy Project, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and a lot of other things. And she's also appeared on NPR's Snap Judgment. That's a good storytelling show. Jen also has two comedy albums. One is called Homegrown. I bet I know what that's about. Homegrown. And one is called Bringing Hefty Back. You can find them both at jenkober.com. And you can also follow Jen on Twitter at Jen Kober. Oh, yay. Here she is, you guys, wherever you are. Put your hands together for Jen Kober.
So I am a member of the Lesbyterian Church. I don't know if you've met any Lesbyterians, but so I find myself often in precarious situations in pursuit of a lady. And I moved out to the middle of nowhere with a girl. And I mean, like, you had to drive down a 15-mile country road to get to the country road that took you out to where we were. And it was beautiful out there. Let me just say that. It was crawfish fields on like both sides of the road, just gorgeous. And very flat, just swampy, beautiful Louisiana. And we're out in the middle of nowhere, and you know, we're in love and we're in the middle of nowhere. So it's nice to be like, everything's very quiet and there's crickets and moonlight and such. And then I have to go on the road. That's what I do. I have to leave. So it made me feel better. And like, she would be safer if I left my car there and went out, on the road with other people in other vehicles and such. And so I left my car parked in the yard. There was no driveway. It was just yard. And I went on tour for 3 weeks. And when I came back late January, mice had eaten my car. And I go inside and I'm like, baby, mice ate my car. And she goes, was it locked? I'm like in her head, they just stood on each other's little shoulders till one of them popped the car door open. I'm like, no, babe, they got in like the tailpipe or something. I don't know how they got in, but there are pieces of my car like missing. It's been eaten. It's been eaten. She's like, well, was there food in your car? I'm like, have we met? Yes, there was food in my car. Well, that's what it was, baby. It was cold outside and they smelled your food and they needed food. And so they ate your food. And I just don't think that's the full story. I think the mice got into my car, found my weed, ate my weed, then got the munchies, ate all the food. And then when that wasn't enough, they ate the fucking car. Okay, listen to me when I tell you, there was a bite taken out of the steering wheel. Like a bite out of the steering wheel. I'm going to tell you this. I have been in that car, stoned out of my mind and starving. I never touched that fucking steering wheel. No matter how much it looked like a donut, I left it alone. It's just, this is insane. We're at a weird point now. These are hardcore mice. These aren't like the Cinderella. Yeah, sup, sup. It's not those. These are like hardcore mice. So because I'm in the country, right, I'm waking up really early every morning to feed three dogs, okay? I don't have dogs, though. That's the thing. I'm waking up to feed the dogs because the mice ate my car. If these fuckers get hungry, they're going to eat my porch. You know what I mean? Like, I have to make sure I'm keeping all the critters. That's the thing about the country living is you're around critters all the time. So I find myself at a Walmart, like, trying to buy the biggest bag of dog food I can find because cheap. You know what I mean? They're not my dogs. They show up and they look hungry and I feel like I need to feed them. So I'm buying this big bag of dog food. I take it home. I got these big bowls. I put it in the... I mean, I've spent like $100 on food and bowls on dogs that aren't mine. And I've put all this food and water in the bowls. And then I just put the dog food in the garage. Well, these mice found the dog food. So now I'm back at the Walmart, like looking for a bin with a lid that latches to keep these mice out of the dog food. It's like $40 just for the bin, okay? These are not my dogs, not my dogs. I'm $150 in now. So I'm like dragging this bin. I get the dog food put in the bin. Well, these mice, I now have to put a rock on top of the bin because the mice have figured out how to get inside the bin. But you know what I mean? These mice are strong now because they're all hyped up on Honda. You know what I mean? They've eaten a Honda. They're very masculinated now. So I have literally got a giant rock on top of the container of dog food. But every once in a while, because, you know, it's clumsy with the rock and the lid and scooping the dog food and whatever, some dog food will fall on the ground or whatever. So I go out one day, and some bees are swarming the dog food. Ugh. Bees. Mm. Now look, girl, these are not those little like cute honeybees. These are those big, fat, I could rape a turkey bee. You know what I'm talking about? Well, that's where they get honey turkey. That's the truth. But it's those big bees and they are swarming the bin of dog food. And I'm like, oh my God. Listen, the only thing I can remember about bees is what that little kid says in the Jerry Maguire movie. You remember when he says, bees smell fear? Dogs and bees smell fear. That's what he says. So that's all that's going through my head. And I'm thinking, oh my God, if these bees can smell fear, what I should do is get stoned first before I go messing with these bees. That way I'll be relaxed and the bees won't get the fear, right? Mm-hmm. So my plan is I'm going to sit in my car and toke up and Google bee swarms. This seems like a good plan to me. So I get in the car, right? A mouse passes me a joint. And I just start toking up. And I put on that Will I Am song. You know that song? I'm a bee, I'm a bee, I'm a bee, I'm a bee, I'm a bee. Right? Because you want to get in their head. You want to get inside of their minds. And then I'm Googling bee swarms. And basically what it says is, bitch, be cool. Like, don't.
Don't go nuts. Don't be swatting at the bee. Don't be freaking out on the bee. You just gotta be cool. You don't fuck with the bee won't fuck with you. Perfect. So I feel like I'm ready, right? I get in my zen place. I'm gonna move with purpose. I have a plan, right? Rock, lid, scoop, lid, rock. Boom, I'm done. So I get out of the car. I fist pump the mouse. I head towards where the bees are swarming. And I'm just moving slow and with purpose. I'm not even looking at the bees. I'm looking at the dog food bin. And as soon as I get near the bee swarm, the bees start to swarm me. I feel one of them hit my earlobe. I'm like, abort the mission. I am not about this. This eject, delete. Like but I'm already in it. You know what I mean? So in my head, I'm like, just do it. Just rock, lid, scoop, lid, rock. And just as I'm putting the rock back on the bin, one of the bees, I can only imagine, you know, the head bee, is in my ear, and he's just, and look, I don't speak bee, but I can tell by his tone, he's pissed off, he's mad at me, right, and as the weed starts to kick in, I start understanding what the bee is saying. And he's like, get out of here, fat girl, or we'll kill you like we did Macaulay Culkin in that movie. Right? This is a shit-talking bee. So I decide, if you want to go 80s movies on me, I will Karate Kid you. Right? You're a bee. You saw Karate Kid, right? When he takes the chopsticks and he gets to fly. Right? I don't have any chopsticks, but I got little snossage fingers, and I'm willing to start swiping at this damn bee. So I go after him with my little fingers, and after about the third swipe, I caught the bee in my fingers. I've got him in my hand, and I go into the house, and I tell my girlfriend to hand me a toothpick. She hands me a toothpick, and I stab that fucking bee in the heart. I stabbed it. Now I got the bee on a toothpick, but I'm not done. I go back outside and I put the toothpick in the hood of my car for all the other bees to see. You know what I mean? Like a warning. Go ahead, talk shit if that's what you need to do. But you need to know I got a whole box of toothpicks inside.
You are so funny, Jen Kober.
There's Instagram proof of this, by the way. Okay, there are pictures of the bees on the kebabs.
Okay, so what did happen to the bees? I mean, who got rid of them?
They eventually just kind of
they moved
dispersed.
On.
Yeah.
Well, they were eating the dog food.
They were eating the dog food, and apparently there was something in the grass there where we lived that like grew those little, you know, those little flowers, those little, it's really a weed, but it looks like a little white flower.
Yeah, like a dandelion.
Yeah. But it's not a dandelion. It's like a, when I was a little girl, we used to make chains with them because they were just everywhere.
Oh, yeah. You like know a clover. It's like a clover.
I don't know what it's called, but it's got like a little flower.
I know what it is. It's a little tiny white flower. We made them and made bracelets.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we would always
jewelry.
Make little chains and stuff out of them when I was a little girl on the playground. So those flowers were everywhere, and I think those were attracting the bees, really. And that was like all, I mean, that just grew everywhere.
So what happened to the dogs?
One of the dogs went to go live with another family, and then the other two dogs belonged to someone. You know, we were like double feeding the dogs. They were just...
Oh, so they did have homes.
Of course.
No, yes. I don't know.
Well, it's the country. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like everybody feeds everything that comes their way.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
literally,
there's fences.
Or a cat roamed up, I would just feed it. That's just my
people,
nature.
Like, animals don't have electronic collars and stuff, probably.
No. They'll blow a whistle or scream their name, and the dog goes back to wherever it came from.
Now, my friend Debbie, she feeds a bunch of cats that are abandoned in, you know, homeless cats in Culver City, and she buys like 10 pounds of food every couple of weeks, and she puts the food, she just spreads it out, and they all come, and so, you know, like people do this, you know, feed animals that aren't theirs.
It's country. There's something about so lovely about you almost feel like you're more part of a community way out in the middle of nowhere, because the other people that are out in the middle of nowhere with you want to help you. They know You're out in the middle of nowhere. They right. know you don't have, if you don't have something you need, they have it, or they know a fix for it, or like you, it really did sort of feed invention, because you weren't going to go to the store. The store was 30 miles away and probably closed.
Right.
You know, so.
So you grew up in rural Louisiana.
I grew up in a city. I did. I grew up, I mean, it wasn't a big city. I grew up in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Okay, right. And that's so about, Lucinda Williams. I always think of her stuff. Yeah.
About 80,000 people.
That's a pretty good size.
All is said and done.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Totally fine.
But now you have a place in the country.
No, I don't. I broke up with this girl and I've never been back there. But
really? So how long did you own it?
We didn't own anything.
How long did
you
rent it?
We were out there. It was her. It's her place. I think she probably still lives there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she dragged me out there to the
country.
So
how long did you stay out there?
I was out there probably 4 or 5 months.
Okay. But then you're on tour as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't that long that you lived in the country.
No. It was, I loved it, but you also feel very
isolated.
Removed and isolated from everything, which was, at the time, I loved. I mean, I was like, oh my, you know, but now I live, you know, in the middle of Beverly Hills and I'm perfectly happy and like, yay for being in the middle of stuff. Like,
yeah, because
I like
things
that now.
Are accessible.
So, right. So, I mean, it for the time and for what it was, and I loved being with her, and she had kids, and we had, you know, dogs running everywhere and animals running everywhere, and you know, we were like,
you know that,
on a porch watching stars every night, like it was beautiful. But
that's the beauty of being single and dating, because you get to weigh out what you want and what you don't. So now you know that was you get what that was, but it's not your thing,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Interesting. I wanted to say one more thing about like living out in the country or being in a home like that.
Right.
Because like my buddy lives in Colorado at like 10,200 feet.
Oh, wow.
Right? So it's very beautiful. But the isolation part, especially like out in the country, to me, I feel like if I'm going to get stabbed to death and when I scream, I want people to hear me. And if I'm out there, nobody is going to hear.
You can't live your life based on the fear of stabbing.
But I'm just saying, like, no. But
I get what you mean. It always worried me that she had kids, and you know there were trampolines and swimming pools and whatever.
Exactly.
And I was always so worried that if something happened to someone,
exactly,
and we had to call an ambulance, that like, how long does that really take out here? But you know, knock wood, everybody's safe. It's all good.
I know. I guess also I don't like to just hear the sound of blood in my head. You know what I mean? I like ambiance. I don't mind hearing a little traffic, a school bell here and now.
You know what's funny is we would always get awakened to an airplane, but it was a crop duster that just was flying really low. And I was like, I can't believe, I feel like I'm living near like LAX.
Right.
In the middle of nowhere. But because of this one little crop dusting airplane that like literally starts at 5 a.m.
Oh, wow. That's early. Mm-hmm. Listen, by the way, that bag of weed, was it a bag of weed in your car, or what was in your car that the mice ate?
Yeah, it was a bag of weed.
It was a bag of weed. How much do you think, how much in the
it
bag?
It was probably
do you think?
A half ounce.
Okay, so you're looking at a sandwich baggie about 4 inches high, maybe 3 inches high.
Yeah. And listen to me when I tell you it was Louisiana weed. So it was like, you know, you have to, it comes in a brick and you got to like pick at it with a screwdriver.
Really?
Just to break it up. Yeah. And then I get out here and it's like broccoli with glitter on it. It's like gorgeous.
There's so
and
many,
beautiful.
Oh,
and
so many
and,
beautiful
and expensive
strains.
And as it should be. But I really think that's why teenagers can't do it, because the stuff they can afford is not worth doing.
Well, I don't know. There's so many different strains, and you can also just get shake and be smoking weed. I mean, it just depends on what you're looking for.
I guess
for.
That's true. I went to a dispensary in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
I had a gig in Spokane, and it was literally next to a gas station. Like
oh,
it was.
That's convenient.
Yeah. And so we filled up the car with gas, and we were like, oh, and I bought a jar. I mean, a jar. It looked like a jar of jam, like a jar, like an octagonal, like beautiful, like you would get
artisanal,
in Vermont
lovely,
kind of
like farmer's
jar
market.
Of blackberry preserves.
Okay.
And it was full of orange citrus weed, and it was beautiful. And then.
How much was it?
Like $150.
Okay, well that's kind of expensive, but it's a nice product.
And
yeah,
so good. It was this. Right. It was this orange strain that I had really liked, and they had all kind of pre rolls, which is my jam.
Pre-rolls meaning just...
Like little tiny mini joints.
Nice.
You know, just pre-rolled that I don't have... They have little filters on them. It's all...
And it's already done for you.
I love that, yes.
Have you ever seen the empty cones? That's nice in terms of if you want to roll your own joints, but it's just like a little cone and you just have,
yeah,
to, you have to put the weed in it and,
yeah,
and twist the end and
again,
you're done.
I look at my fingers. These are little sausages.
You don't have sausage fingers.
I do. They are
I have it on the page right here. I wrote, you don't have sausage fingers. I did. I wrote it down.
I do. Look at this thumb. Look at that thumb.
Oh, that is like, a small... Your thumb is smaller.
I have Megan Fox thumbs. These are...
I didn't
these
know
are
she
like the
had...
toe thumbs.
I didn't know she had
small
thumbs.
I only know because we were in a
thumbs
movie together. But yeah, it's... We've
wow.
The,
what
it's,
movie were
it's
you
like
in together?
It's a birth defect. Jonah Hex. I'm not in the movie, thank God. I was cut out.
Oh, okay. And did you know you'd be cut out? No, of course
I
not.
I did not.
How, when did you find out?
When I saw... saw the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't? Were you at the premiere? Or?
No, God.
Okay.
No.
Well, I don't know.
No,
I mean,
no,
there's
no
different types of screenings. There's like cast and crew screenings, and then
yeah,
there's
yeah, yeah.
Just star
was,
screenings,
I
red
mean,
carpet
no
stuff.
There was no.
You were home.
I don't think I've ever been to like a real red carpety. Maybe I was for Heckler. I'm not on the red carpety level yet.
Do you want to be?
I mean, I want to be known. I want to be seen. I want to be successful. Do I want to walk a red carpet? I mean, maybe if I was having a good hair day and
because
had
you
on
wrote,
like a good
you,
outfit.
You wrote a Netflix special called Homegrown, and that's about your life, right?
It is. It's actually about the time that I was living. This story is on that album. I am. It's about the time that when I was living out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. Okay. Called. Oh, so you're doing just a Netflix special? Just was like a stand up act?
Yeah.
Or was it a series? It was.
No, that was just a one...
Like a one-off...
Yeah, a one-off thing.
A 30-minute thing or a 20...
No,
minute.
It's an hour.
An
it's
hour.
An hour long.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
I
a long time.
For an hour. And
that's
I have
a lot.
And I have a new one that I'm about to... I'm literally going on a 17-day tour tomorrow.
That's exciting.
Then, so I'll be polishing up the end of this one and then hopefully record it in June.
And record it in one shot, of course, at one theater.
Yes.
A lot of cameras.
Yes.
And what's your perfect audience? Who are those people?
People that want to laugh. I mean, anybody. I don't, you know, there's...
You do have a broad appeal, I think,
yeah,
your comedy.
I don't feel like there's anyone that I'm like... I mean, I can tell you that big Southern lesbian women probably identify with me the most, but I mean, hello. You know, so...
I have
a lot of different fans, a lot of different ages. I just,
it's
you know,
more
I just
of a
did
Southern
NPR
thing
tour.
Yeah, okay.
And that, you know, that brings out an older crowd, NPR. Yeah. But there were also kids there. Like I must have met 112-year-olds that were like, oh my God, you were so fun. You know?
Yeah.
So it just...
The NPR crowd is very polite. I'll say that.
They, you know what? I did a story that was very brash. It was very...
and they loved it, of
and
course.
And they really did eat it up. They
yeah
really... There's a way... To me,
they're
that's
gracious
the fun of the game, is to figure out how you can make what you want to say palpable to the people you have to say it to.
So smart.
You know? And so it's... That's fun for me. Some people hate it. There's some comedians that if you tell them not to say fuck, the first thing they're going to go out there and say is fuck. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
I'm not like that.
Do you think it also has to do with being on tour and playing to your audience? Whereas if you are here in Los Angeles and you just do the Comedy Story week or you have your regular club, then you know, the audience is coming to you. Or if you're at a theater, they're coming
to you. I think it definitely makes a difference.
Interesting.
You know, if you are someone who's making their living on the road and trying to have broad appeal because you don't know who you're going to be in front of. But I mean, I'll just ask them, you know, I'm like, so what, I just need to get a consensus of the room. I'm not judging anybody.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, let me just hear from you. If this is your situation, whatever. And sometimes you can just tell right away. I mean, people will tell you if everyone's wearing a flannel shirt, you know,
yeah,
you know, you don't have to. And even if you don't know, making the assumption, they get that you're making the assumption. And even if it's not true, they go along with it. You know
yeah
what I mean? I've been in plenty of rooms where I picked on somebody for being a Trump supporter or for being obviously, you know, into alternative facts or whatever I did that, you know, that I endowed them with at the top of the show. And they just laughed through it and never contradicted me. And then they'll come up to me after the show and they're like, just so you know, we was Hillary all the way, you know. And you're like, oh, that's so funny. But they don't want to ruin it, and they think it's funny, and they get why other people are laughing at
them.
Wait
a minute. So you think you called people out for being like a Trump supporter, and they weren't?
I have.
And they weren't Trump supporters. Why didn't they say? They didn't just say, well, I'm not.
He just was laughing. He was just a big old red. He looked like a redneck. He looked like a lumberjack. And I
so
think
he played like a pawn for you.
Just,
that was kind of nice.
He just kind of laughed it off. And I was like,
no wonder why I didn't heckle back.
I was like,
back.
What a good sport. Now I want to take a picture with you.
That's
you know
really
what I
mean? Funny.
He was like, it was just funny. The stuff you're saying was true. I get it. Look at me. I'm wearing overalls. Yeah. For God's sake. You know, yeah. He got it.
Well, you're very confident. And you can tell that you don't. You want to hurt anybody or put anybody down. So it seems like everything, if you're calling somebody out, I don't see you putting them down in that.
I mean, I have, but I don't think I go with that energy unless somebody gives me that energy. You know what I mean? I've had, sometimes people kind of mouth off to me or something and I'm like, ho the dough.
Cause you're the one with the microphone.
Yeah. You don't want to get in a pissing contest with me. Cause I promise you my dick is bigger. Like, you know, like there's just not room for that, but also I've had that happen and then the person like backs down. I'm like, I'm sorry, you know, that was just my mother coming out, and that happens sometimes, and I apologize. I'm gonna eat these M&Ms and feel better, and
yes,
just
you can pull it back to the show and move
on.
And
that's what I want it to be,
because you're a professional.
I don't want to take it to some mean play. You know, there's a lot of comedians that their funny is mean, and I think it's I've laughed at it before many times, but that's not my thing. And
right. It
has been, I have been very mean to people. I'm certain of that. But that is not who I aspire to be on stage. I want to be.
Well, those comedians are going more for shock value sometimes as well.
Sometimes. And sometimes they're just, they think that's what they think is funny. I had a couple of girl comedians, that I was, you know, as friendly as you are with other comedians. And they kept trying to get me in this, like, where they would like cut me down, and they tried to like suck me into this like cut down thing. And I was like, I'm not going to play this. This is, I don't find this fun or funny.
Right.
And I'm like, if I thought you were saying that to me in seriousness, I would cry. I know you're not, but you know what I mean? Like you're just not going to, this isn't what I find funny. And you know, I barely talk to those girls now. I think they probably took that in a weird way, but I just, it's not my thing. I don't want to, I'm not a bust your balls in actual personal life. If I'm busting your balls, I know you and love you so much that, you know,
it's
nothing I say
it.
is going to really make you
right.
turn away from me, because, you know, I love you. You
now,
know what I mean?
Now, recently on the show, I had Rich Scheidner, the comedian.
Love him.
I love him. And he has
an book.
Amazing
just,
book out,
just,
right, Kicking Through the Ashes.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
So good.
And his story was called The Heckler. And he was talking about, you know, as a professional comedian, at the end of the day, you need the situation, whatever's going on in the room, to be up and up and up. I mean,
yeah.
The people paid a lot of money to be here, and we need to somehow turn it around. Because if it turns into, you know, like we were talking about the Michael Richards situation and the Daniel Tosh
yes,
situation.
Yes.
And if it just turns ugly, then everybody loses.
Yes. And listen, I've had it happen. I had a couple walk out of a show in Phoenix one night. I wasn't even being offensive. I just wouldn't leave them alone. You know what I mean? Because
no, I don't. Why were you doing that?
They had terrible looks on their faces through the whole thing. They were giving me like resting bitch face. Like she was staring at me like I was farting the whole time I was talking. Like the look of disgust on her face. And I was just, I don't know what it was about that night, but I couldn't. There were not enough people in the room for me to let it go. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I couldn't not look at them. And I wasn't even doing, it wasn't even a lot. I would just be like, you hated that one too, huh? Like I just kind of kept going back to them just for a split second. And finally they just got up and left. And I was like, no, don't, please stay. Like I was being an ass as they were leaving, you know, and like acting like I wanted them to come back. And everyone ended up applauding once they left. And we talked about them and it ended up being very, 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 very funny. So you know, that's what you have to do. That's what
you let the audience in on kind of something that was, you know, very specific and personal that night.
And that's what I said.
Next show's not going to happen like that.
I probably shouldn't have done that, guys. And I know maybe you don't even know what the big deal was because you can't see them. And I have to remember that you can't see them. And I'm just looking like a dick up here, like, being mean to them. But let me tell you what was going on. This bitch was sitting here like, you know, and I'm making the face and everybody's laughing. And I'm like, I'm trying to work. Like, this is, it's comedy. You're supposed to leave here feeling better than when you came in. And this could be full of 3,000 people laughing. I will see the one person who is not laughing and I will be like, oh, I got to make that bitch laugh. And any comedian will tell you that. And if they say that they're not, they're lying, because you can't help but, you know what I mean? You can't help but draw your eye to the one person who's not getting off on what you're saying. And you want them to get off. And you're like, I'm going to make you laugh if it is the last. And when you get them, you're like, boom. And now you own this room and you're doing whatever. And for the rest of the show, they can sit there on their hands for all you fucking care. But you have to do that. It's the game. And it feels so good.
Yeah, it's very common. It's very common for comedians. Yeah. I get it. I get it. All right. Yeah. It goes back to childhood. It goes back to getting approval.
Oh,
it goes back to trying to repeat behaviors so that maybe you can somehow change it. It's common.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
I loved your story. Fun. Mice, bees, and weed. Oh, my. Really funny.
Thank you.
Really funny. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you guys so much again for tuning in today. Do follow Jen on Twitter at Jen Kober and let her know how much you enjoyed her story. And then follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. Would you do that, Jen Kober?
Absolutely. And I subscribed this morning.
And feel free to email. It's good for you. Good on you. And feel free to email me, you guys, at info@storyworthypodcast.com. I respond to every single email. And if you're really feeling kind, head over to iTunes and leave Storyworthy a good review and a good rating. I always need this, I tell you. I wish I didn't need it, but I do need it. So do that, would you? And join us next week on Storyworthy for the incredibly talented author, Sandra Tsing Lo, as she talks about going back to church.
How do I go to church? Where is it? Do I need a reservation? Do I need to reserve online? You just show up. What?
Don't miss Sandra Tsing Lo next week on Storyworthy. All right, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media today, including Hernan Lopez and Jeffrey Glazer. And one more time on behalf of my guest today, Jen Kober, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a Storyworthy week. That you can.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.